Be a little different. Calling this, I guess if I could give this a title, I'd call it Living the Life. And, you know, a lot of times, I know, Josh especially, and almost like to try to challenge you at the end, you know, on what to do. Well, I'd rather think of this whole thing as we go through as kind of a challenge and what to do and be challenged. So kind of keep that in mind as we go through it. And I think... because it could end up long. That'll save you some time at the end, hitting you again. But I kind of want to thank Josh for giving a good introduction last Sunday. And kind of funny, because Chastity, when I was kind of struggling on what to do, Chastity said, why don't you do something on fruits of the Spirit? So I got to thinking about that. And the more I thought about it, I started looking into it. And then, of course, kind of started going a little different direction, but using that a lot. And then when Josh comes up and says, well, we're going to look at fruits of the Spirit this morning. I thought, oh, no. And I saw him kind of look at me because I said that out loud. But anyway, I just think it fit really good because, as you'll see, it just kind of really does help set up what I want to talk about. So let's read James 1, starting in verse 2 through verse 12 here real quick. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of a low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So, what I want you to do now is probably keep a finger there because we're going to come right back to it, but go to Galatians 5:22. And just read it real quick. We covered it on Sunday, but it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, singular, as Josh pointed out. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and it lists them, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I got to looking at that. The term fruit of the Spirit is only used twice in the entire Bible. Obviously one here. And the second one, you don't need to turn there, but I want to read it too. It's in Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, if you want to make note of that. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And I just thought, you know, Josh's example was just so good, you know, when he talked about turning away and putting the dead and all the works of the flesh. You die to that, and now you live in this and walk in this. And here it is in Ephesians, just talks about that. Walk as children of light. And in that, the fruit of the Spirit is in that, in all goodness. So I just, you know, it's so important. And what I really found interesting is, again, it's only found the fruit of the Spirit only twice. But Josh did a great, job of finding examples of the different fruit. And as I got looking through this, and as you'll see as we go through this, there's so many passages that list fruit and several of the fruit together. And I just got more and more excited. It was almost like every passage I saw, it gave, you know, two or three fruit, and it's just all over the place. So it not only just kind of gives us to us there, but it's just all throughout Scripture, and that's what I kind of want to look at as we go through what it's like, what it means to us. How do we live that? How do we live that in our life? So let's go back to James, and let's pray first. Father God, we do thank you for this evening, the opportunity to gather. Lord, I just we give you praise for just how wonderfully and majestic your word is put together. Lord, that is just so obviously divinely inspired, and we give you praise and glory for that. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word tonight. Help me to get out of the way, and that you would just bring you glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you look back at James, can help me out here. Starts right off, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Okay, if you want to keep on that Galatians passage and kind of look these up, obviously we see one of the first fruit mentioned there, joy. Okay, and then knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay, another word for patience is long suffering. It's translated both ways. So again, it goes right to the fruit. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, wanting nothing, as you'll see, we'll get into a little more, but to me, that exemplifies peace. You know, if you want nothing, you're at peace. Okay? And I'll make a little more case for that later, but I think most of you agree with that. Verse 5, but if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Okay, boom, there's another fruit, the faith comes into it. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So again, if you look at that unstable and tossed, what's that kind of the opposite of? Would be temperance, or another interpretation of temperance is self-control. If you have self-control, you're not going to be tossed and not going to be unstable. So again, it brings in a fruit of the Spirit here that you should be unstable, or you should be stable. Too often we are unstable. Okay, then it goes right into the next. Let the brother of the low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Some interpretation there is that he is in humiliation. Okay, humbleness is a synonym with meekness, which is again one of the fruits. So it talks about being meek, being made low, and of low degree. So right there it's exhorting us to be meek. And then finally, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall a rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And we'll come back to endureth, which also is a phrase of long suffering, if you're enduring. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Okay, so there's another fruit, love. So, you know, just in these 11 verses, we hit almost every one of the fruit mentioned. And, you know, when you start looking at the various verses when you're reading them, you're going to see this over and over. And it just kind of really struck me that you can preach on almost anything and bring in the fruit of the Spirit. But just a real good example of how he puts it together and you know, different than Josh's examples. And he had several for us even Sunday. Okay, so from there, I want you to turn over to 2 Peter in chapter 1. So even though the fruit of the Spirit is only mentioned twice, we see it throughout Scripture, and we see how cohesive and put together, divinely inspired is the only way I can describe it, the Scripture is put together for us. So 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 5, going through 7. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, most of us know charity is another word for love. It's the same Greek word of agape that's used there, that's used in the fruit. So again, count up how many views, I've got 7 of the 8 fruits, again, listed right there in the 2 Peter passage, saying on what we should be doing. In fact, now go to verse 8, which just really sums it up. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it just excites me to think, okay, I got all these fruit, and then boom, it even refers to them as being unfruitful if you don't have them. So it really gives us a roadmap of things we should be doing and looking at trying to do. So now I want to look a little closer at some of these as we go down through. We'll start with the word joy. We'll kind of take them in the order that they're given in the James passage. Now joy, the Greek word for that is charis. And it means a deep delight, much more than a happiness or a gladness, as there are separate Greek words for them. This is more of a really deep feeling in your soul, joy. Okay? And it really starts, and you don't have to turn there, but I think for us it starts in Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So obviously, you know, I mean, just that in itself just brings, you know, just how deep a word this is, you know. And what is it that does that? You know, it's his birth that's coming, that the angel's bringing good tidings of. And that just gets you excited about joy. Hebrews 12:2, looking in unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is the verse really got me thinking about it when Ben preached on it last week. You know, and it just struck me that, you know, God, because of the joy coming, was able to endure all that he endured. And even in that, you know, enduring is, again, long-suffering. He did all this, but why? Because of the joy that was set before him. You know, and so it's not necessarily a pleasant thing that we do, but yet, you know, because of that joy, you know, he did this for us. Okay. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. So there's Paul to the Corinthian church. Same thing. You know, he's talking about being in tribulation, but he's so happy with them and their efforts. And even in that verse, if you look at it, there's three fruit mentioned in there. I am filled with comfort. Okay? What would that be? Peace, you know, you're feeling, I mean, you just, hey, I'm filled with comfort, I have the peace, because I know you're on the right track. I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. So, you know, in all our tribulation, again, is the long suffering. You know, obviously going through all this tribulation, but he still is joyful. And that's the kind of joy we are called to have. Even though no matter what goes on in our daily lives or what's happening, we should be able to have that joy. And I thought a great example this evening, just think of Heather, you know, and here she is, she's not feeling well. Poor Heather. Josh picks on her, I pick on her. I'm sure we all know just how joyful she really feels underneath all that, even though it's unpleasant, it's no fun, you know. And that probably pales in comparison to the grandmother's joy. So, you know, you can really, that's the best example I can think of the joy that's out there. Is just the joy of a new life into our whole family. We all feel that, and we feel bad for Heather, but you know, but, hey, we're excited. So just get her done, Heather. Okay. So the next one we go into is long suffering, or patience, but it is interpreted as long suffering four times in the Old Testament, and each time it was in when it was referring to the attributes of God. Okay, and that becomes important, as you'll see, because who's our example but God? But that only four times was always referring to an attribute of God. And it's really kind of interesting to look up some of those. In the New Testament, it's interpreted that way 13 times. Seven of them, again, were to describe attributes of God or of Jesus, who was obviously long-suffering towards us. But the other six, it was admonishments or encouragements to us to be long-suffering also. And it means forbearance, to bear without anger. Okay? Long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. Okay? Let me read that again. And I got this out of the Vine. I did a lot of definitions out of Vine's Bible Dictionary. But long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. But even in that definition, it talks self-restraint, which is another, you know, self-control. So even use this other fruit to help. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy and is used of God. Okay? And you really see that when you think of God being long-suffering, because what? He was merciful. Merciful first to the Jews and now to us, and really what he came to do. So turn with me to Colossians 3. We'll look at a few more uses. And as you read, the other word to look for to get the idea of long-suffering is endured. You know, the apostles, the disciples, they endured a lot. And that's part of long-suffering, is forbearing. You're bearing up under it, which means you're enduring some trials and tribulations. Okay, you'll like this part too. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Okay, now obviously I could pick those for a lot of the fruit again. You know, they're all mentioned together. But it goes right in then to kind of a definition of long-suffering. Forbearing one another. I said forbearance. Well, what are we supposed to forbear? One another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace, there again, another one, the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. And again, it's just so neat how you just all of a sudden throw all these fruit in there. And I just picked out, because it was used long-suffering, it was a good example, but you could, again, you could preach on any of those out of those terms. So, and finally, you don't need to turn there, but 1 Timothy 1:16, and this really describes what we should do for the long-suffering, I think. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So he's our pattern, and he was long-suffering. If you just think of what he endured when he didn't have to, and the example he set, and that's, you know, to show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So something to live our life by, to be long-suffering. Okay. Next one we go down to... And I use this James 4, where it said that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, being content. And that is peace. Now peace, you could spend a lot of time, it occurs over 400 times in the Bible. And I got to be honest, I didn't look them all up. But it means security, safety, content with earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. In other words, to be content no matter what life gives you, whatever this world has put us in, to be content. In other words, it's to be happy with what God has given you and where he has placed you. Okay, that's really the only way we can really have peace, is to be content with what he's given us. And again, we'll go through these pretty quick so you don't have to turn there, but some good verses on it. John 14:27. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a great example of peace, and who left it for us? And he not only left us peace, but he left us my peace, his peace. You know, my peace I give unto you. And it just, so it tells us what to do. Not be troubled and don't be afraid. So it just describes what, you know, how we can have peace. Don't let things trouble us. Don't let us be afraid. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay? So again, flee those things. Mentions faith, charity, righteousness. Again, mentions more fruit. But flee that with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Philippians 4:7. This is my favorite. I use this a lot at work. And people have, you know, going through a tough time. We just kind of prayed this prayer the other day when my client's son had a bad accident. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, it passes all understanding. How else can you have some of that peace that can you see people demonstrate that are Christians? You don't see many other people demonstrate it than have that peace. Okay, in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. How exciting is that? And again, so we don't need to be afraid, we don't need to be worried. Why? Because he has overcome the world. And what's he relate that to? That ye might have peace. So, again, just a way to live our life and to think of life more than almost live it. This is how we think of things, you know, and to have that peace. I really like Josh's example on the bus going down the hill in flames and, you know, the guy next to him saying, hey, we're okay. And you're going, yeah, right. But there's Jesus Christ, and you're right, and you'd have peace. And why is that? Because it's him that's doing it. And actually, I think... this peace takes root in us, it would, you know, and we'd be able to get there because of the next fruit, which is faith. Okay, it says in James, let him ask in faith. Now, faith also occurs too many times in the Bibles to look at every one. You find it in the Bible 247 times. Obviously, Hebrews talks a lot about faith, and it's, you know, about the faithful men. And so we don't need to go much into that. We've looked at Hebrews quite a bit. But, you know, Hebrews 11:1 defines faith for us as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? And that's still okay, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. But I really like also the Vine's definition of it. Faith, it defines faith as belief with the predominant idea of trust. Okay? So not only do you believe something, but you trust it. Okay? I just thought that was really descriptive of faith. Because we believe it, but we not only just believe it. You know, you can believe the sun's going to come up every morning, and, you know, we can kind of trust that, but sometimes we're not too sure, you know, especially for the elderly or the sick. But, you know, this is something we can really trust is in Jesus Christ. It is the conviction of truth. Okay? And I remember when we were first saved, you don't hear it as much anymore, but it's just like we know that we know that we know. You know, we're convicted of what the truth is. We just know. You know, we've experienced his love and his peace and all these things, his joy, all these things that he can give us. So we just know. We can have that conviction of truth. We know if he's on that bus next to us, we can trust him. And that puts us so far ahead of the world. You know, it's just... It kind of goes back up to the peace when we're, you know, it's not of the world that gives you, you know, not of the peace the world gives you. You know, like the big talk in the Middle East, you know, well, we got to have this peace. Well, it doesn't mean anything. You know, they can have a ceasefire, but it's not peace. And if they could call it whatever they want. But Jesus gives us the true peace, and we can enjoy that and accept that by our faith. Okay. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a couple verses on that. And again, this is more to demonstrate how it's used along with so many of the other fruit. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Okay? So there again, you just have all this fruit and the long-suffering, and I think it all really kind of revolves around our faith, or that just conviction of truth that we can have in Jesus Christ that gives us all those other, really gives us the ability to do all of it. I think without faith, the other ones are hard to do. You know, the world can't do them, and that's because they don't have faith. So really, I think it's almost the cornerstone for us of why we can have the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we need to develop. You know, a lot of us need to maybe develop a deeper faith and really truly know that we know. So, you know, it's one way to... Because after you get that, the rest just seems to fall a little easier, I think. Because, you know, you just don't worry about the guy giving, you know, the road rage guy. Hey, God'll, you know, God's going to take care of him, kind of laugh, you know, and just have that confidence that, hey, you know, we're going to be in a better place. He's not, if he keeps that attitude anyway. He might be, but, you know. Anyway, you know what I mean. Okay. Next, what do we do with that? Okay, the next one was the unstable in James and double mind, which we agreed was temperance or self-control. And I kind of decided I like temperance better, even though it's a little harder word, because anything you start with self, we got to be careful of. You know, and self-control can be kind of a scary thing. And I would just say, you know, God gives us certain abilities and strengths that God has given to man, but they're capable of being abused, aren't they? Okay, because, you know, knowledge. Knowledge isn't bad, but can it be used in a bad way? We see it all the time nowadays. Or how about even our free will? You know, that's a great gift from God to give us, but yeah, it's probably one of the worst abuses that we see out there. So you want to be careful, you know, that, hey, I'm in self-control. You know, that's not what this talks about. The right usage implies the controlling power of the will under the operation of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Say that again. The controlling power of the will under the operation of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the self-control we're talking about here, the temperance. Strong defines it as the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. Okay? Doesn't give in to him, he masters them. Okay? That's temperance. And if we look again, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Peter 1:6, when again, the listing of the fruits, and it says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Well, it kind of suggests, because it says to knowledge, temperance, okay, because they were building blocks. So we have the knowledge, but now we need to put it into practice. You know, that's the temper, that's the self-control, okay, because how many of us know people, even in our own lives, these areas, we have head knowledge, but it's hard to do. And we could all think of really good examples of people that have head knowledge, but they don't, they just can't do it, or don't seem to be able to do it. And, you know, it might be a lack of faith, might be, you know, it would be one of the first things I'd check on, I guess, but, you know, this, I think that order is important. That, okay, we have knowledge, now let's use our self-control to act on that knowledge, and that's an important aspect of that. Okay, and then, what am I doing here? Oh, I'm doing good. Okay, the last one I want to touch on is after the temperance, it goes down to the humbleness or meekness. And it talks about the brother of low degree rejoicing, and the rich is even made in his humiliation or made low. Okay, and meekness is often described as mildness, and is often associated with gentleness. Okay? But Vines describes it as, and I really like this, as the inwrought grace of the soul. Okay? Grace of the soul. I just like the way that rolls out, you know, the meekness is grace of the soul. And it is exercised first and chiefly towards God. In other words, we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. Okay, so if we're going to be meek, we're accepting, we're being content, we're going to have peace with what God has given us. Okay, it's also demonstrated in the face of men, even of evil men. And in that, it's kind of like accepting that, okay, and we, you know, when we pray for this a lot, we try for this, okay, they're doing bad, but God can bring good of it. You know, or God's trying to teach me something. We hear that a lot. And that's really being meek, you know, in trying to do that, trying to find, okay, God, what do you, there's got to be something why this evil guy is treating me like this. What can I learn? What can I do, you know, to change me? And it's that whole humbleness, and it's more of mind and spirit, meekness. Gentleness is more the outward thing. And Josh had a couple of those where he pointed out, you know, these words are so close together, and a lot of times it's what's inside and then what's exemplified outside. Meekness is really an inward, it's in your heart, it's the grace of the soul. I just love that phrase. Okay? And because of that, then we can be gentle and we go out there. And so as you'll see, so many of these are so closely related and they're interlocked and all the fruit are acting together to make us what we should be and what we want to be. You know, often we think of meek men, we think of them as weak and unable or unwilling to take care of themselves, don't we? I mean, I know I remember in high school we hated, you know, to be called meek. I mean, that was an insult. You know, you didn't want to be meek, for goodness sakes. You know, you were a sissy if you were meek. But you realize then, Jesus was meek because he had the infinite resources of God at his command. Man, how many times would we have liked to call down all the resources of God? Here's a guy that could have, and he didn't, did he? You know, we talked about that. You know, on the cross, he could have brought down legions. And he even said, I could bring legions, you know. But he didn't, because he had this meekness, this humbleness. That he humbled himself to a point that, you know, again, what an example, you know, that for us to do. So meekness is really a fruit of power. I like that. You know, it's not one of weakness, it's of power. So don't want you thinking being meek, you know, letting somebody run over you is necessarily a bad thing. Now, obviously, there's some things we want to stand up for, but, you know, we need to learn to think, all right, God, but, you know, look to that first. What are you showing me, God? What are you teaching me? Okay? And have the meekness. So with that, I want you to turn to Titus. We're going to kind of sum it all up, and meekness is in here, but most of the others are too. I'm sure you're all surprised at that at this point. And so Titus 3, starting in verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And those kind of sound like Josh's works of the flesh, don't they? But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I mean, it just kind of sums up everything from Sunday and tonight, I think, in those verses that, you know, God's in the business of changing us. And he wants the chains to be more like him. It's not like we don't have an example, obviously. He's done all this, and he did it all for us. And it's just, I hope, things that you'll find that we can all strive to do more in all these areas, and just to learn and to be excited when you, you know, I'm sure you're going to notice this more when you read through the Word, just how many times the fruit show up. Just, I just got more and more excited. I just kind of wanted to keep going, so... If I told Kat, I could go for a couple hours, but actually I can't because I now ran out. But good timing. Anyway, let's pray. Father God, just we come to you, I'm sure excited tonight, just to look into your word, Lord, to see what you have for us. Lord, the life you want us to live. Father God, that you sent Jesus Christ, Lord, that you came to be our example in all meekness. Lord, I would pray that we would multiply our faith, that we would, even as a mustard seed, and have it grow, Lord, that we can just exemplify these fruits of the Spirit. Lord, that, you know, all men would recognize us because of our faith in you. Lord, that we would endure the tribulations that come before us, and that we would have peace. And Lord, that... We would have self-control and the ability to control those things and the knowledge we have. And Lord, we thank you, especially for the joy that can give us. Lord, that you just promised us so much in these wonderful passages, and yet it so many things to strive for and live up to. Lord, I pray you'd help each one of us to think of these things as we go through our daily life, help us to grow, and just to be more Christ-like as we try to do that. Bless each one. And thank you that we could have this time together. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.